Believers, I sit here and my heart just seem to be looking in a direction where probably we have not looked on before. And that is true reflection upon the God that we serve.
Amen.
How vast He is, and different, and He is beyond our comprehension. Every now and then, and in fact, it needs to be done more often, we need to take some time out and to see if we can sit quietly with Him and let Him lean on us. Let Him lean on us. Let we breathe in His goodness. Let us relax in our spirit as we reflect on a holy God. John find great comfort in leaning on the bosom of Jesus. Each time they sit at that table, John would be that close to Him. And John just let go and let himself lean in the arm, in the bosom of Jesus.
Amen.
We can feel the pulse of His heart. And you'll be extremely comfortable. That is what we need to do every now and then. Just lean on Him as a church. And I'm glad today in this service, we can do just that. The tranquility that comes over the service ever since we start until now, it is a testimony of what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let us feel that joy and that pleasure this morning as we focus upon Him. What we find is that the psalmist did the same thing. The psalmist take some time out, and the psalmist focus upon God, the great creator. He focus upon His creation, His focus upon His ability, He focus upon His judgment, He focus upon His wisdom, He focus upon His knowledge, and he find out that this God is totally beyond human comprehension. He cannot fathom Him. He admire the different things pertaining to this God. As we gaze on the writing here in Psalms 19. And then after spending some time looking on the vastness of this wonderful God, he pens some lines that we have just heard our brother Granville read. And that is what we'd like to reflect on today, in a special way, as a church and as a people. If you're here today on this Men's Sunday, especially the brothers, I trust that you will take some time out to see what the Lord is saying to all of us, not only the men folks, but to all of us in this passage. As David reflects what he has seen, the revelation that come to his spirit as he reflects upon the vastness of this God. No wonder. Solomon, in his prayer, as he dedicated that church, declared that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him.
Amen. Amen.
That is how vast he is. And I trust that especially us as men folks will take some time out to see things the way David saw it. And so there are 3 points here that we'd like to look at from this passage as we are going to reflect upon the perfect nature of God's law. That is the topic we're going to use today. The perfect nature of God's law. Our brother read from Psalms 19, verse 7 to verse 14. Now listen to what the first point that we're going to look on say. The law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
Let us stop here for a minute. After properly gazing into the depth of God's ability, which he being an imperfect person, we are all imperfect compared to the perfection of a holy God. It has to be through the instrumentality of the blessed Holy Spirit that revealed to him the perfectness of Almighty God. It could not be something that comes out of himself. He got to have help from the Holy Ghost to point out the depth and the vastness of this holy God. Why he was able to declare by prophetic utterance that the law of the Lord is perfect. May I say to all of us here in this company this morning, none of us here have known perfection. None of us have ever experienced perfection. Perfection is outside of the imperfect man, which all of us are. And no matter what it is, the manufacturers, they make vehicle and they consider it the zenith of all manufacture. As if to say there is nothing more can be done. This is it. Yet you find that the next year they improve on the quality. The telephone you carry, there are telephones that people will consider the top of the line. And there is technology as reach its climate in putting together this one. Yet, after a few years, you hear that there's a new telephone with new feature. They're always stretching. They're always going on beyond what is here. Because what is present is not perfect. There's always room for improvement. Not in the case of God. Not in the case of God. The psalmist declared, his law is perfect. Mean, everything that God says from creation until now, it is perfect and needs no adjustment, whether in time or eternity. And that is remarkable. This is what the psalmist saw by revelation. And he not only saw the Ten Commandments, but he looked out and he saw the perfection of God in creation. As he was gazing into the vastness of Almighty God. He has seen something way outside of his scope, because the Holy Spirit was able to offer him the lens to which he was able to see in the depth of God's ability and to discover the perfection that is there in the law of God. And how wonderful it is for us this morning to start to look as the psalmist has looked, and to see something way outside of our scope that we can embrace and give glory and honor and praise to God. You see, if we're able to see things the way the psalmist saw them, our praise and worship would improve. Our thanksgiving to God at different juncture, whether we are by ourselves or in company, would improve, because we are seeing something about God that is much bigger than ourselves. The psalmist declares, the law of the Lord is perfect. What law? Well, there are different laws. What about the law of creation? The Bible, Genesis 1, tells us that in 6 days God created things. The light, the firmament, the sun, the earth, the sea, all living creatures, both in sea and land, and here, God put all these things together. And God has never gone back and tweaked anything. Because what God said, he declared at that time, it was good. He made man, and he declared man was very good. And I'd like to say to the church this morning that from God establishes the sun continues to shine. No mechanic has ever gone up there and made an adjustment to the sun one way or the other. God put it in its place and it worked perfectly well from day one until this minute. The sun, the stars, the moon, all in their different places. God has never had to adjust anything. Because why? The law that holds them, the law that caused them to function, is perfect. From day one, the grass was green. And the last time I checked, the grass is still green. The rain falls from day one, and the rain continues to fall. The air that we breathe is there from day one, and it is still available to you and I today. Perfect as God's creation, the law of God's creation operates. The psalmist in Psalms 18 and verse 30, listen to what it says. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The word of the Lord is tried. That's what the psalmist said. And you and I know that for sure. You and I know that for sure, that the word of God is tried over the centuries. And listen to what the psalmist continues to say in Psalms 18, verse 30. He is a butler to all those that trust him. Hallelujah! He is our defense. He is our faithfulness. He is our sense of security.
This call will be recorded.
All of those are locked in. All of those are locked in the law of God. Hallelujah. They are locked in the law of God. And David declares that the law of the Lord is perfect. We are looking on the perfect nature of God's law. It is perfect, believers. His word is locked in. The word, the Bible tells us that his word is eternally settled in heaven. Unchangeable.
Amen.
Cannot be altered. It is perfect. It is whatever he says that he will do and that he has done. This is the greatness of our God. You know, in the country that I'm from, I remember in the 90s, the government, things were rather difficult. And the government, I remember saying to the people that they're having difficulty in attracting investors, overseas investors, because they are complaining, those investors are complaining that the electricity is not reliable. And I remember clearly that it is no big thing for you to not have electricity for all 4 hours. And so that is true. So investors are looking for somewhere where things of that nature can be consistent so as to have a reliable business going. And when I read this passage, that's how it came back to mind. And I said, God, you're amazing. Your electricity has never run out. The sun from you placed it in position and gave it your order and said, this is what you should do. It has obeyed your word up until this moment. Our electricity continue to flow. What about our water system? Our water system continue to be available from day one. Oh, utilities, as far as God is concerned, because his law is perfect, continue to be in service to the entire universe. I am exalting the writing of the psalmist, because we have proven the psalmist to be true. We have proven the prophetic word, the inspired word of God to be true. Listen to what Paul writing is on his views on every word that comes out of God's servant's mouth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, I read, all scriptures, including the one that I've just read, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Says the apostle writing there to young Timothy for him to read to the church, expressing the laws of God, the law that involves God's word, whether it is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, wherever God's word is, the apostle is saying it is perfect. The psalmist is saying his law is perfect. That's why the writing of the Old Testament sins can be so strong by saying, his word shall not return unto him void, but they shall accomplish that which he sent it. So the psalmist here is reminding us that the law of the Lord is perfect. Not like our leaders. Not like our leaders, be it in this country or another country, who promise so much things and deliver next to nothing. The word tells us, trust not, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help, church. Is what God forth, he returneth to the earth, in the day his thought perish. Happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalms 146, 3-5. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, whom there is no help. Man promised so much things and cannot deliver. But here is a God whose law is perfect. And in that law doth he delivered whatever he says. It's interesting that Moses also writes in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Listen to what Moses writes here. He is the rock. The work is, his work is perfect. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and righteous is he. Verse again, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. That is the description of Moses in regards to the God that we are talking about this morning. Because he too, through the lens of the Holy Ghost, was able to see in the revelation of this great God. And so describe him here in this passage. And this is something that we have not gone into as believers. We have not seen God in all his vastness. I wish this morning that we could really take some time back and to see if we could gaze into the depth of the God that we serve, and to behold the beauty that lies in his ability, and to give him glory. And then we have to question ourselves too. What is it that caused this perfection that is spoken of here, not only in creation, but in his spiritual instruction, as we have it in the Ten Commandments? What is it that governs this? The law of gravity he spoke into being, and it obeyed him up until now. If you threw a rock in the air, and when the power from underneath it ceases, that rock must fall back down to the ground. The law of gravity dictates that it must come back down. What is it that governs all of this before God? It is because he himself is perfect. It is because he himself is perfect. His nature is a perfect nature. His words are perfect words. His ability is perfect. And therefore, his laws follow his nature. They also must be perfect. What we find from this, church, is that as a result of trusting the perfection of God, we discover that we have confidence. Our confidence has risen to a new level. Our confidence in his ability has risen to a new level, because we have discovered that there is continuance. His ability continues not only in time, but also in eternity. He himself is perfect. Perfect in love. Perfect in holiness. Perfect in righteousness. Perfect in his ability to accomplish whatever he says. That is the God that David, as he gazed how deep, he discovered through the blessed Holy Spirit on his life. What we also discover from this perfect law of God is that it is a law that makes room for the imperfect man. The perfect law, the perfect nature of God's law, makes room for the imperfect man. And that is what it's all about. Everything in that Old Testament, in terms of the Ten Commandments, everything that are written there, are written with the intention of bringing man to a place where they will find a Savior. The law, what it does, it exposes the sin of humanity. Perfect in all his ways. It exposes the sin of humanity and points us to a Savior who will cleanse us from that sin. And that's why the word tells us that Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus is a fulfillment of the law, because no man could have kept the law. No man in his perfect sense could have kept the law so as to attain righteousness. It took Jesus, the Son of God, to obey and keep the law to its fullness and therefore shield us in himself against the holiness of this law. The apostle writing in Romans 7. Listen to what he said in Romans 7 in regards to the law. Romans 7 verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. The apostle Paul writing there in Romans 7 verse 12. He also wrote in Galatians that the law was a schoolmaster leading up to Jesus. So that as a result of that, the schoolmaster that brings us to Jesus is able to shield us from the wrath which is to come. And that's why this morning we embrace Jesus so much. Because when we look at a holy law, when we look at a perfect law and see ourselves so imperfect, we need help. And our help comes in the person of our Lord Jesus. I touch on that some more later on. But let me move on to the next point here. Let me move on to the next point. Not only that, the psalmist declared that the law of the Lord is perfect, of course, converting the soul. But he also said something here to be found in verse 10. Look on verse 10. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I heard Pastor Piani say this could be 2-3 times this morning. It is something that jumped out at us from the scripture. Not only that, David was in a moment of awe when he discovered the vastness of Almighty God and the perfection that his law exhibits. But he, in that moment, found value in the law of God. And he declared to us that the law of God here is more valuable than fine gold. And he not only said gold, but he declared fine gold, meaning the best that can be produced in the gold department. And I want to remind you this morning that an ounce of gold today is for over $3,000. Over $3,000 United States dollars for an ounce of gold. David is saying the law, the perfectness of the law of God is more valuable than fine gold. That is speaking outside of the realm of humanity. And only could be declared to him through the lens of the Holy Ghost. To put that level of value upon the Word of God, the laws of God, the statutes of God. As he gazed and looked and see this. The other thing to be said here, it is sweet. It is sweeter than honey. Oh, my Lord. You remember the psalmist in Psalm 34, that thing said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. David, find the sweetness. Hallelujah. The sweetness of the word of God. I want to tell you, sometime you meet a brother. And sometime you interact with a sister. And my God, when you touch the word of God, it's like one scripture or one thought is taking you into another one, before you know what I'm, time run off, and you not even realize it. Because what? You are absorbed in what is called the sweetness of the word of God. This is what David found as he gazed into the depth of the honey that is extracted from the word of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! As he looked upon the perfection of God's law, govern the universe, govern our lives, dictate to how we should live in the community, in the country. How sweet it is. Not only that he put a value, that it is more valuable than gold, but honey is considered the most precious taste to anybody's mouth. And the psalmist said that it is sweeter than the taste of honey.
Amen.
Let me tell you, just jump over to Job 23. Because when we thought it was the psalmist alone who found the sweetness, the reliableness, and the truthfulness, and the perfection of God's word, we found out that Job also, in his own way, made mention of it. Go with me to Job 23. And there's an anger to this church. There's an anger to this that worthwhile mentioning. It is not only when we are on the mountain top. In other words, it's not only when everything, humanly speaking, are going well for us. We have money in the bank. We clear all our bills. Our children are in school doing well. We have a job. We have a beautiful family. We have a nice car. We have a business going good for us. We have friends. It's not only that time. Because David was a king, you remember. David was also a prophet, you remember. So it's not only that time when seemingly everything is going well for us that we are going to look out and see the perfection of God displaying right around us. It's not only that time. But when health is threatened us, when our health is in serious trouble, when our business is in serious trouble, when our jobs are threatening, when all the world seems to be caving in on us, in that moment too, we can see the perfection of God in his laws, in his works, in his attitude. Because what? God cannot help but being perfect. He is perfect. We have seen this now through the psalmist in the heights of his reign, and we are going to see something similar to another man who he was in a state of serious physical decline to the extent, and you heard me say it before, his pain and his agony, his anguish was so, and Bill flies, having a field day with the man's body. He stretched out his arm, and mother falls from his arm, his broken flesh to the floor. In that state, listen to what he says here. Job chapter 23. I read from verse 8. Listen to what the man said here. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Job speaking now of himself trying to find God at a crucial moment when he needs him most. This is his writing. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. I'm backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Make a note of that verse. But listen to what the servant of God, who admires God for his perfection, start to say here. But verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He discovered that he is in a moment of trial. And his perception based on this trial is that ultimately he is going to come through like gold. Verse 11, my foot has held his step. In other words, you hear people talk about people backslide. When certain things happen, they just backslide. Stop following the Lord. Gave up on the Lord. Decide not to go to church anymore. Decide not to testify anymore. Decide not to witness anymore. Just simply backslide. Have no interest again in the Lord. But listen to what Job said. His illness. My foot has held his steps. I'm not backsliding. His ways have I kept and not decline. In all of this trouble, immediate trouble, Job said, I am holding on to him because there is something perfect about this man that caused me to hold on even though I am passing through this difficulty. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. What did the psalmist say? The law of the Lord is perfect. The word comes out of the Lord's mouth is perfect. Here Job is saying, I have not gone back. Verse 12, neither I have gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have, blessed be the name of the Lord. We talk about the psalmist discover that it is sweeter than honey. The law and his words are sweeter than honey. Listen to what Job said here in verse 12. be. I am esteemed. The word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, the brother is saying, when I consider the perfection and the laws that he laid down and the world is governed by, I esteem the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. So when the psalmist is clear that come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. When the psalmist said, it is sweeter than the honeycomb. Job is backing that up here by saying the words of his mouth. I have esteemed. I have shown reverence to. I have elevated. I have recognized. I have valued more than my necessary food. And you think about your favorite meal. All of us do. All of us have our favorite meal. If somebody should wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, what is your favorite meal? Some of us don't have to shake our head to get conscious to know. We just blurt it out because it is true what our favorite meal is. The Job is saying, more than that particular meal, I have esteemed the word of God. I have valued it. I'd rather have it more than the food that I cherish the most. Let us look on verse 13. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doth. He is of one mind. There is no variableness about God. He's not like the wave that comes in and goes out. He is firm on whatever he says, and that he will do. So when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, brother. I will never leave you nor forsake you, my sister. You can take it to the bank. He's with you. Regardless of what suffering or difficulty we might be passing through, here is a word of confidence. He is with us. The psalmist says, his word, his law, is perfect. He's with us. Just like how John feel his pulse as he leaned on his bosom, so shall we feel the presence of the Lord with us wherever we are. Hold on to him. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. And three, final point. As a result of all of this that was said, the perfectness of his law as expressed in our day-to-day living and expressed in creation, you don't have to go anywhere to see God's creation unfolding itself in his perfectness. The heavens declare his glory, and the firmament show it his handiwork. And it is a day unto day experience, the word tells us. We don't have to go anywhere. We just go outside Or sometimes we don't even have to go outside, but we stay inside and imagine the work of the Lord in creation. Something is holding this together. It is from an intelligent being that watches over us, that knows our uprising from our down setting, that understand our thoughts afar off. And in this verse, it tells us, and that is verse 11, it tells us, moreover by them, meaning the things that declare the perfectness of God. Because it is not only Psalms 19:7, but 8 and 9 declares the perfection of what God is saying to all of us. So the word said in verse 11, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. By them, the things that the psalmist was able to identify through the lens of the Holy Ghost. By them, we are warned. We are warned. And what is that warning? What is that warning? It starts in verse 12 and 13. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Look what happened here. The psalmist, as a result of seeing the perfectness of Almighty God, have seen the greatness of God manifest in so many different ways, and have seen that the law brings us to the Savior who can save us out of the rut that we find ourselves in as imperfect creatures. He's now saying to us that in seeing all of that, he now saw himself. So it is not only looking in the depth of God's creative ability, but is also looking into his own spirit. And he saw himself. And what did he saw inside of him?
What did he see
inside of himself? We are told here. After he looked. And he looked. He declared in verse 12. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. My brother, my sister, there are things about you that I will never know. There are things about me you may never know. There are things about the other brother or sister we will never know. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. But we know one thing. But for all of us here, the secret faults that we have are well known to the Lord himself. And therefore, his appeal is to Him who has the ability to so cleanse him from secret faults as he measure himself against the perfectness of Almighty God. And you and I might look good when we measure ourselves with one another. You and I might look good, but when we measure ourselves with the standard of God, we find that we have fallen short. And the next verse, he appealed further to the Lord in saying, keep back thy servant, meaning himself. Keep back, that is verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. The little word sin. Sin that I know is wrong, I do it anyway. Sin that I know offends God, I do it anyway. Sin that I know offends my brother, I do it anyway. Sin I know offend my sister, I do it anyway. Presumptuous in my application before God. And all of this come to light because he was able to look into the depth of God's revelation and saw perfectness. The law of God does not have a flaw. But he looked himself in the mirror. What he saw was a man who was tainted with sin all over. He went on to say, then shall after he appeal for cleansing. And then after he appealed that the Lord would keep him back from committing presumptuous sin. He said on the back end of that, when all of that is done, then he is going to find where, then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Where all of us need to find ourselves in this service this morning. Displaying the uprightness of God. Displaying the forgiveness of God. Displaying the holiness of God. Because why? We are serving a God that is perfect in all his ways. There's no flaw of sin that is to be found in his law. If there was in creation, the entire universe would be plunged in chaos. But because there is none, there's harmony in the universe. Because God's law is perfect. And finally, church, finally, the last verse here. He closed up by saying, let the words of my mouth and let the meditation of what he has been meditating upon as a revelation comes to him, explaining to him that the Lord is perfect. As he meditates upon that, he realized that in meditating upon the Lord, he can experience great results. So he said, let the words of my mouth, everything that we said, everything that you and I said, need to be governed by a principle of holiness, by a principle of righteousness, by a principle of perfection coming from him. Because the word tells us that our conversations are in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians tells us that. So if our conversation is in heaven, the psalmist is asking the Lord to let everything that he says, let the words of my mouth, and let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Notice how he kicks in the word our, meaning it is not confined to him, but it is for the entire apostolic church. It is for the entire Pentecost church. It is for the entire Baptist church. Regardless of what label we come under, this word is for all of us. Let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. What we find here is an appeal for holiness. Is an appeal for righteousness. Is an appeal to be accepted. He said, let them be accepted, Lord. I don't know if you're here this morning, church. I honestly don't know if you're here. And you're wondering. You have never stopped. You're so busy. I mean, your surrounding keep calling you for one thing or the other. You have never stopped to think about the holiness of God. I'm glad the Holy Spirit, I stop you and give you a chance to think. I don't know if you're here. The psalmist is explaining to us things that we should know. In Psalms 51, you remember, most of you, he declared, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Are you here this morning? And have you heard the appeal of the psalmist to God that he would remove every obstacle that is in his way so that his words and his meditation can be accepted unto God? Are you in that position? If you are, I'm going to ask you to breathe a simple prayer. Breathe a simple prayer before him, and he will hear you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the light of your word, the light that is in here, so that we can see clearly in our spirit. Father, that person who's listening right now, who has never stopped to think about you, the act of holiness and perfection that is in you. I've never stopped to think. But now, the Holy Ghost is shining a light upon that heart. As that person contemplates, Lord God, this thought, pray, Father, I pray that the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit will flow in this life and create a change. I look to you, Lord, that it will be so. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And
sir. I wonder. The songwriter says, I wonder why is it I love him so. When I think of what he has done, and for me, the victory won, and you wonder why is it I love him so. Perfection in the Godhead. Praise is wonderful.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Perfection in the Godhead.
Hallelujah.
Father, 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 Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Many of us will confess this morning that we've been born again for many, many years, but have you ever done the research in seeing the perfection in the Godhead, of which we now, through the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, can enjoy the fullness?
Yes.
There is something that is preventing us to see the beauty of Jesus. And I'm going to ask, I don't know if Sister Brock is here, or Sister Brock is not here. I'm going to ask Sister Barbara to lead us. Singing the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Turn your eyes.
Hallelujah.
Today, many of us,
hallelujah,
like Philip, is asking, who is God? Where is God? Jesus said, I've been with you for so many years and you still don't know God. Perfection.
Yes.
That is in Godhead.
Hallelujah.
For his wonderful name. What a study we have had today. Cause us to search ourselves.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Sister Brock or Sister Barbara, whichever one of you know that chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I'm going to encourage each and every one, before we come to a close, to sing this song. If you don't know it, listen to the words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world, which cause us not to see the perfection in the Godhead, praise his wonderful name, will go strangely dim.
Barbara.
Are you saying something, Sister Henry?
I'm saying you requested Sister Barbara or Sister Brock. Sister Brock is not online, so I was saying Sister Barbara could go ahead.
Sister Barbara, thank you, Sister Penny, for telling me. Sister Barbara, if you know it, you can sing it for us just now. If not, I will repeat the words several times. While you're thinking over what you've heard, the perfection, the beauty, the fullness of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, can abide in you today, that we too, Word of God tells us, be perfect, even as I am perfect. That's quite a task. We have had what a study to do to tell us what the Epistles is telling us. Be perfect, even as I am perfect, says
yes,
the Word of God.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
We can achieve that perfection by our nearness with the Godhead. I will stop and allow Sister Barbara to sing a song, but I want you to think of Jesus going into the mount with Peter, James, and John, and they saw the glory of God. That's what we have just got a glimpse of this morning, the glory of the Godhead. Hallelujah.